It is said that nature abhors a straight line. Waves, forests, flowers, bodies, winds, plains, nary a straight line among them. Straightish, maybe, but even those are in the minority. Curves, flowing lines, and crystalline structures are much more the norm. And if you follow an animal path in the forest, it's certain to be circuitous, flowing, and responsive to its environment. Have you ever heard of the HeartMath Institute? Is anyone familiar with that? Oh, good. I love sharing new stuff. They're doing some rather mind-bending work on issues of the heart, truly fascinating work. And the primary area that's garnered significant attention is their work on heart rate variability. Heart rate variability refers to the change in time intervals between adjacent heartbeats, and it's directly related to the body's interdependent regulatory systems and overall health. In an article in the journal Global Advances in Health and Medicine, they write, quote, "We now know that the normal resting rhythm of the heart is highly variable, rather than being monotonously regular, which was the widespread notion for many years. An optimal level of HRV within an organism reflects healthy function and an inherently self-regulatory capacity, adaptability, or resilience." It's an amazing body of work they've compiled, and the new view of what constitutes a healthy heart seems obvious. Once you think about it, a heart that varies in response to its environment is inherently more healthy and better for the person carrying it around than a heart that does not vary in its strength, speed, and duration. And yet, for many, the belief that a strong heart doesn't falter rings true. Such is the belief for many regarding spiritual heart health. There are those who believe that once your spiritual heart finds its path, that you should then never sway in your belief. And there are those who believe in spiritual heart variability, a term I just made up, that in response to one's environment or new information, the heart varies, the path winds, the focus strays, and that this is a good and healthy way for a spiritual heart to act. Who's right? Well, I know who I think is right, and it's one reason why I am a Unitarian Universalist. It seems right to me. It seems the free and responsible search for truth and meaning that we are called to follow, for our spiritual path to be rather circuitous. That is, after all, the way my musical and literary taste paths wound, all over the map, all in service to the search for who I am. I am a Unitarian Universalist, hyphen, atheist, hyphen, sort of paganish person. I absolutely don't believe in deities of any sort, but I love and I find very helpful archetypes. So I surround myself with images of the green man, but I don't worship him. And I may change at a later date because my spiritual heart is variable. The spiritual heart variability is something I've also noticed in many of my friends and family members, with important differences from my experience. I have a good friend who, when I met them, identified as a Christian. They went to a Christian church, the church they had grown up in. And they loved their community there, and they loved their church. But eventually they realized that they no longer shared the beliefs of the church. After much soul-searching, they realized that they needed to follow a different path, and the path that called to them was the pagan path. They left their church, which was a very painful divorce from the family that they had created there, and joined a coven. And all went well there for a while. They were lovingly gathered in and made friends and learned quite a lot about their beliefs and their own spiritual needs. They were happy there for about 5 years. And then they realized that they had no belief in the deities the coven served, and indeed had no belief in deities at all. When they discussed this with their coven, they were asked to leave, and they did. They are now without a spiritual home, and while they're glad they are living in integrity, they do miss having a spiritual family. And I can't help but contrast that with how a Unitarian Universalist congregation would approach this situation. So, we'll say you join our church, and you identify as a Christian, we ask you what that means to you and listen and appreciate the thought and intention you've put into this. We all come to church and have a great time. You might have a kid and they start going to preschool. In time, you realize that you aren't feeling the Christianity and want to explore paganism. We send you to the church's pagan group, where you're able to explore what that means for you, and you come back and share with us again how this new path serves you. Your kid might be in my first service RE and loves to learn about evolution. We all come to church and have a great time. Maybe you meet someone in the coven, you fall in love. That's sweet. And in time, you realize that niggling feeling that you were having about paganism is the problem you have with the continuing belief in deities at all, and you're just not feeling the whole deity thing. And I can say, hey, I feel ya. And by the way, do you know about our atheist group here? You end up going to the atheist group. Your partner might stay in the coven. Your kid goes to OWL. We all come to church and have a great time. And in all that time, you're held and supported by the same spiritual community, that family, who encourages you to ask the big questions and explore and take that windy little road that may lead nowhere and may lead to a truly magical place, and then to come back to us and share what you've learned. This is a huge thing, people. Imagine if all people felt supported enough to do that. Imagine a world where folks were that free. It's easy for us to imagine it. We live that. That is what our church does. It might be better for me to ask a non-UU person what that would mean to them. And of course, what they might come back with is that quip that, quote, you people are allowed to believe anything, which is most emphatically not true. Number one, no one allows me to believe anything. Thank you very much. And number two, while we don't have a creed, we do have our principles, which give us some clear and broad definitions and guidelines. The main one in this situation being that it is not only our right, but our duty to search for truth and meaning in whatever way we find it. That is a sacred task, and it is no small thing. It is far easier to blindly follow the standardized teachings of an organization. But again, there goes your spiritual heart variability. And finding a path that sings to our heart and also aligns with our UU principles is not that difficult. Our principles are not restrictive. Number one, dignity for all. Number two, seek justice. Number three, encourage others on their spiritual path. Number four, walk your own spiritual path. Number five, listen to everyone and let your voice be heard. Number six, live in loving community with all. And number seven, no, we mean all. So then part of the path of being a Unitarian Universalist in the first place is to find if you have a hyphen. You might not. Many of us are just pure Unitarian Universalists. But if you're following that fourth principle, you're going to be looking for those truths that speak to your heart's core. And that means that it's highly likely that you're going to go check out the Buddhist group here. You may also go hang out with the God-centered people. You might find, or you might already know, that you are a UU Christian, or you might keep to the faith of your ancestors and identify as a UU Muslim. There's no conflict anywhere there. You agree to those seven principles above, and you also live in faithful alignment with the Quran. And you might even flip the identity. You might identify as a Muslim UU. It's your identity, and you get to choose. The people who feel discomfort with our creedless church remind me so much of those who oppose the Occupy movement because of a lack of a unifying theme. I Googled Occupy Wall Street, and it autofilled and finished with, "What do they want?" Perfect, exactly. There were 5,940,000 results. Then I Googled Unitarian Universalists, started what, and the autofilled, what do they believe? 2,900,000 results. Occupy Wall Street deliberately did not create a unifying message for all of its groups to rally behind because they wanted the local groups to be able to be responsive and focus on what was needed in their community. Community, heart variability, if you will. not applying the message of Wall Street to the Occupy Barstow crowd, because the Occupy Barstow's crowd's needs are significantly different. That is a strength, not a weakness. That is brilliant. Community heart variability in action. We UUs are occupying spirituality when we live our principles. And as occupiers, we adjust the specifics of the principles to fit our own needs. That is not a weakness, that is a strength. Danielle quoted Kathleen Rowlands. She said, "We do not feel that we are recognized for the gifts we have to offer if our interactions and relationships leave no room for mutual transformation." Mutual transformation, being willing to change and to be changed, and being held in love and respect as you change. This is world-changing stuff here. Embrace your hyphens or your lack of hyphens, and know that you are where you need to be. Thank you.